Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. I'm sitting here with Ebrahim Abbasi, who is CEO of the new Violin Systems. I think that's the right term, name of the company, is that?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. And this is the company that used to be Violin Memory. Well, the former Violin Memory. And we're just sitting here having a chat about the new company, the new direction, what we can expect, the industry and so on. Anyway, so nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks for the time, Chris. We emerged from our reorganization in April.
Right.
The company is a wholly owned subsidiary of Soros Fund.
Yep.
And we came out of the reorganization with as a debt-free, fully funded company.
Right.
And we're very humbled that the customers are coming back. We are counting more than 120 customers and counting.
Right.
And
so were they existing customers or are they net new customers?
These are all existing customers.
Right, okay.
And I'm happy to report that we are cash flow positive for the first time in the history of the company.
Okay.
And that's one of the major changes. There are three changes that our customers should be expecting.
Right.
One is that we will be living within our means.
Okay, that's always a good thing to do.
Yes, we do not want to believe in living based on hype,
yep.
Based on hope. We are living within our means to the extent possible, and that's why we're cash flow positive for the first time. The second one is we want to invest in technology, and we want to be humble, bold, and focused.
Okay.
We cannot be everything to everyone, so we're going to be focusing on really where our strengths are.
Right. So let's talk about technology as a starting point. Now, for people who don't know, and people might be aware, but they might not be aware, so I'll give a bit of background. The original technology was really based around the idea of building things called VINs, which were effectively like a DIMM module that you would see in, say, a memory slot, but not
yes.
a much bigger flash module that plugged into a backplane of PCIe, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
And that was basically the basis of the technology,
yes.
And that allowed you to deliver consistent and uniform low latency, high performance.
Yes.
Now that was obviously proprietary. That was
yes.
built from scratch, and the market's gone a number of different ways. We've seen people take their own flash solutions by using commodity, and we've seen people build their own now with Pure. I always wondered whether the companies would struggle to keep that evolution going with that technology. So does that still form a core of the company?
What you discussed, Chris, is the implementation of the technology. Let's talk about a broader perspective.
Okay.
At the hardware level.
Yeah.
Our ability to access to raw flash and the programming of the DRAMs within the NAND
yep.
is what translated to the VIM technology that you're talking about. Today's SSD technology has advanced so much that on one hand, the latest enterprise SSD performance and our VIM, the gap is narrowing.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
That gap will never close 100%.
Okay.
So that's one thing. The second thing is that you're talking about the hardware. What 5 years ago, Violin introduced a technology that today is becoming a lot more adapted in the world,
right.
in the market. We have competitors. We used to have 3, now we have 18. We're going to continue down that tradition. What is changing within Violin? That not only we are going to continue the adaptation and improvement of that technology
yeah.
In the hardware side, and the differentiation for us was sustained IOPS and consistent latency.
Yeah.
We're still the leader. At the peak, there are some players who may exceed us at the peak. When it comes to sustained IOPS and consistent latency, we're still the leader in my view.
Okay.
That's one thing. One thing is that it's changing for Violin. Not only are we going to maintain that, we're investing in our software.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, and then you can
yeah.
tell me in a second, but you know, if you look at any criticism of the company from way back, the lack of software was always the big I guess the big elephant in the room that people used to talk about. Now, you went through a process of working with Falcon Store, and that got you some technology that you adapted into, I believe, the Concerto platform.
Yes.
And I guess what you're going to talk about is how that's now evolving into something a bit more substantial.
Yes. So we bought this software from Falcon Store. We ended up rewriting most of it.
Okay.
Because what we got was, unfortunately, not what the company thought that they were buying when they bought. But what we have bought, we have rewritten it. And today, that Concerto OS 7 is one of the most stable and proven suites of data center services that exist in the market.
Okay.
For example, in the data reduction, which was one of the biggest challenges that the market was experiencing, we are promoting anywhere from 2:1 to 20:1 data reduction. And we have, for example, a Fortune 100 customer that we sold the dedupe to them based on 6:1, and they're getting more than 9:1.
Okay.
We have made great strides, and we continue to do that. So our evolution of our technology and our investment and focus, this is one thing that if you look at, if you basically bring up any criticism of the violin memory or our past, is that for one thing, we took the market for granted initially.
Yep, that's fair comment, yep.
Yes, we thought that, you know, nothing will change. That's where I think a healthy paranoia always helps.
Yes.
It's an asset, not a liability. The other one is we focus too much on hardware. The Falcon Store, it was, I would say, an okay experience, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Not only we have fixed, we've rewritten that code, and we have an operating system that we're proud of, and customers from Fortune 50 to Fortune 1000 are using it,
okay,
with success. Now we've taken that, we're building on top of it, scale out, tiering, and SDS, because functionality, because we want to enable customers to manage the pools of storage in a more efficient way.
Okay.
The problem we're solving is problem of cost, problem of managing their storage.
Do you know, so I remember a time, I remember actually being at an event when Don Basil said, don't worry about the cost. You need this to fix your performance problem. So the fact that it costs you $20 a gig,
yes,
is, you know, you'll just have to put up with that, but that's what you have to go with, because you need it to fix the problem. And I think people are a lot more savvy now, so cost is a huge impact, because I think, because the market's matured. Whereas initially that initial $20 a gig solved a very small problem. People want to deploy flash across the board. So cost now becomes a really important factor in that discussion.
You're right. There were a time not too long ago, to your point, that the market had bifurcated in terms of focus. Part of the market was saying, give me the performance at any cost. Part of the market was saying, give me the lowest cost no matter what, I can live with the performance that
yes.
I get. The market is converging. What we're problem we're solving at the current situation at Violent Systems, we are merging the performance with cost.
Okay.
And that's why first thing is that we have introduced these platforms that we have that are a combination of the two. Our 7650 platform gives you the best performance, 140 terabyte of raw capacity in the exact same footprint that the Violin Memory introduced 5 years ago.
Okay.
At 32 terabyte raw, now we have introduced a 140 terabyte raw capacity in the same physical footprint.
Okay.
That provides 2.2 million IOPS at less than 1 millisecond latency. We have customers, as an example, that have a very intensive read, and they get 1 million IOPS in less than 150 microseconds, which is the, you know, sustained IOPS and consistent latency. The second platform, which is physically the same, we provide more than 600 terabyte in the same footprint, 140 terabyte, which gives you 88 terabyte of usable at 8:1, gives you significant capacity.
Yeah.
So we're bringing performance and cost, we're converging them in the same time. But that's not where we are, we're going to stay. That healthy paranoia, mm-hmm. We know the market is moving. There are players who are coming out and saying NVMe. I agree. Violin introduced 5 years ago a platform that was at that time the NVMe of the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true. Could look at it like that.
In my humble view, the market is catching up with us. Some of our competitors are actually going back to commodity hardware. We're going to, in the coming quarters, we are working our NVMe platform without losing our advantage. The leadership we have in sustained IOPS and consistent latency, we are not going to abdicate it. We're going to introduce platforms in time to capture our share of the market with utmost respect to our competitors. The market is not ready for full adaptation of NVMe over fabric.
I agree with you. I'd say that at the moment NVMe is pretty much in a position where there's a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of not real clarity about exactly how it might work and how it might help you. There's a lot of retrofitting NVMe to say it's now in my platform and maybe I'm not even getting the full use out of the NVMe yet until I actually, you know, get a bit further down the line. There's new architectures coming along. There's disaggregation. So there's a lot of hype and FUD around NVMe, and it will take time for that market to develop. But excuse me, I guess that at this point, a lot of the vendors are trying to get in and make it look like they're staking their claim that they are NVMe already, even if the customer isn't ready for it.
You're right. And when we introduce our NVMe platform, one of the first things I'm going to do is send a thank you card to all of our competitors to do the marketing, to make the mistakes, which we're going to learn from, and create the knowledge, the users of NVMe platform and technology, our customers, have to do some changes in their operations in order to utilize the NVMe platform. Yeah. And our competitors are doing that, and we're grateful to them. In the meantime, we're fixing the company. In the meantime, we are adding to our software offerings. We intend to introduce the next generation of our software platform. As I mentioned, in tiering, scale-out, SDS, and in parallel, we are developing our NVMe, but it will take at least another year and a half to 2 years for the market to fully adopt, in my view, NVMe platform. So in general, if I tell you what has changed, the first thing that has changed, the company has no debt, is backed by one of the most reputable, strongest funds in the world, number one. Number two, financially, we are living within our means, and our intention is to be the first profitable storage vendor in the world. I know it's given what's going on in the market and our competitors, it's a very strong statement, and I'm making it.
Okay, well, so that's a strong statement. So let's look at the market and the way that things have gone. So we've seen acquisitions like Tejal being picked up by Western Digital. We saw Nimble, which obviously are not an all-flash player, but are an array player, being picked up by HPE. I was almost going to say EMC throwing the towel. That's probably a bit harsh, but EMC possibly not seeing a direction and dropping products like DSSD and then eventually merging into Dell. And possibly the only two that are really sort of standing alone maybe are NetApp, who seem to have come back from the dead and, you know, really done very, very well. And Pure, who are pushing on with a absolute mountain of cash in order to market their way through the next 6 months to profitability. So you're in a very, very, I guess, competitive and tight market at the moment. And do you see that as being, a big challenge, or is that, do you think, because of the backing of the money you have and the profitability, you can get through that?
Well,
long question, sorry, I apologize. I'm sorry? That was a long question.
No, that's a valid question, and it comes back to three fundamentals, three pillars of how I intend to lead this company. Number one is to live within our means and make sure that we're making sound financial decisions. Second is to make sure that we take care of our customers. And we are in existence because of our customers. And I want to make sure that our customers are getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure we listen to our customers. I want to make sure that we develop technologies not because they're cool or sexy, but because they're usable and needed by our customers. I don't want to live in a dream world. Yeah, I want to live in a realistic world where we respond to our customers. But third, which is important, is I want us to be bold, humble, and focused when it comes to technology. Combination of the three, if you don't need, the reason that some of these mergers and acquisitions are happening is either somebody needs some technology or somebody is in trouble, just like we were a year ago, to be bought. We're not for sale, we're not desperate, and we're not in trouble. And when you are standing on your own feet in a very solid, humble, and determined, you are not looking for a way out, you're looking for a way forward.
Yeah, okay. So I've got one question which is possibly a little bit controversial.
Please.
But I'll ask you anyway. I think there's a risk that is a credibility problem for the company from the history of what's gone on before.
Yes.
Okay, there are lots of scenarios we can look at. I've actually been at events where there were things happening that weren't great when one of the technical team were presenting. There's probably a credibility scenario there that needs to be resolved. Going forward, how are you going to tackle that, not just with the customers directly, but the wider market in terms of how you get past that potential issue?
Another great question, Chris. First, the first step that I intend to solve that is by acknowledging that.
Okay.
We do have a credibility issue. We told the market things that didn't happen. And we were told whether it was which generations of leadership, we were promising that, believe me, trust me, it's going to happen. I'm not asking you or the market to believe us. I'm asking you to watch us.
Okay.
I'm going to make promises that we can meet. We're not going to be perfect. But let me acknowledge that. This company, and I said this to one of our customers, and he said, but you were not leading the company. So it doesn't matter. As the new CEO, I own everything that happened in the company from the day one of inception of this company.
Yep.
So I own the lack of credibility, and I intend to fix it by making statements, by making promises that I can deliver. Will I be 100% accurate all the time? No. But my intention is to make promises and follow through and regain confidence. Confidence is a very expensive thing. It takes years to create and it takes very little to destroy. And right now, when I took over this company, I knew that we don't have credibility in the market with customers or with employees or with investors. It's a very challenging and a great position because there's no way but up. And
yeah.
I intend to make that gain that credibility through actions, not words.
Brilliant. I think that's probably a perfect place to stop. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for spending the time to talk to me. We've got lots of little nuggets in there that we can follow up on in the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months and talk about the evolution. So I look forward to doing that with you.
Look forward to it as well, Chris. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.